The John Anik and Kenny Florian Podcast. John Anik and Kenny Florian.
I f***ing love them. I can't get enough of them.
Let's hear that Boston next.
Big jab there from Duffy and Frank Mir is hurt now. Down goes Duffy out cold. Frank Mir does it again. Rock'em sock'em robots here. Oh my goodness.
Hyperbole.
They're a couple of absolutely self-involved bull f***ing artists.
Here are your hosts, John Anik and Kenny Florian.
Headshot, bang!
Oh, it's good to be back with you. Sorry about the bye week, but we're grateful to be back in your lives. It is Saturday, September 24th, 2022. Episode 366 of the Anik and Florian Podcast. We have a lot to get to, especially because we have not talked to you in a while. Ken Flo is back. What a massive weekend for Team Florian at the ADCC World Championships in Las Vegas, Nevada. We're going to get to all the performers, of course. But, hey, man, you know, like for people who support you, like myself and Cody and others, like great to see you shine in a lot of different roles, Hall of Fame, post-match interviews, and everything else in between. So, you know, Team Florian, let's go, as the rapper said about 14 years ago. Special teams. If you don't know, now you know. Great to see you do all of that stuff, and great to see you back home, kid.
I appreciate it, brother. It was nice to kind of come full circle from where I started doing, you know, rinky-dink grappling tournaments to, you know, the largest one, and getting to geek out with all the other you know, fans out there and kind of doing some different roles. It was a lot of fun, and I'm sure we'll get into it later. But thank you, buddy. It's good to see you.
Seems to be big budget if you can afford Bruce Buffer and Kenny yes. Florian. But, you know, Cody sent a text like, oh, big weekend for Ken Flo. And it's like, yeah, for the Ken Flo haters, not a good weekend if you're a grappling fan. So this Gordon Ryan, we're going to get to Ken Flo's podium here in a little bit. Your three top performers from this ADC World Championships and Gordon Ryan's greatness relative to LeBron James and some of the other guys that have been dominant in sport. But you said this was like the greatest grappling tournament of all time. So that's why we're leading the show with it. Why was it that?
It certainly was. You know, listen, I think when you get the cream of the crop, right, just to kind of get into this tournament, now you have the cream of the cream, and you see someone like a Gordon Ryan who rises above all of those guys. You know, it's pretty mind-blowing. But, you know, these are all the guys, basically all the guys who have won all the biggest super fights over the last 3 years. Those are the guys. The best out of those guys are the ones that competed in this ADCC. It was truly an international style grappling tournament where you had people from all over the world, the best men, the best women, and all the different weight classes compete against each other. And, you know, it's rare that you get a chance to see that. And obviously, you know, the prize money is a lot better for these guys. The sponsorship money, you know, all the eyes that were there, the crowd, the production that went into it, all of those things, I think, made it the best grappling event of all time. Certainly the biggest, you know, the ADCC has always been the most prestigious. Right. You always hear Joe Rogan kind of, you know, drop one of those references anytime someone has competed or has even won in ADCC. So it's always had that level of prestige and honor. And then to see these guys, the level that is present in today's, you know, grappling tournaments, and to see it in ADCC is just it's something else, man. Seeing it live was just tremendous.
Yeah, danger factor just seems off the charts for the art formerly known as the gentle art. So yes. Can you wager on this stuff?
I think you can. I know they had odds, dude. So yeah, I
so
I assume
as
can.
A commentator, is it your expectation that Gordon Ryan was going to have as seemingly quick a night at the office as he had, or no?
I don't know. I think there was that potential. I mean, he is that good. I'm sure the odds were greatly in his favor as a favorite. But even when you get a guy like Andre Galvao in the super fight, for example, a guy who has been a champion six times at that ADCC level, a true legend of the game, certainly older at this point of his career. But you don't see someone dominate anybody. I mean, Galvao hasn't lost in a long time, let alone get dominated like that. I mean, that's how good Gordon Ryan is. He makes it look easy. He's a study in efficiency. You know, the energy that he uses and how calm and composed he is as he executes each and every move. You know, it's like Magnus Carlsen level you know, chess playing out there when it comes to kinetic chess. He's that good.
So reportedly minus 750, the favorite, Gordon Ryan. Galvao plus 500. I guess I was more looking for, you know, a proposition type bet that would give you a little bit more value on Gordon Ryan, because my brain just moves in that direction. So in terms of his dominance, is it just combination, you know, physicality and technique, and he's just the best in the world? Because, you know, it's amazing to see all the superlatives and all the people in that world talk about him and these glowing terms, you know.
He's a natural talent when it comes to grappling. His work ethic is kind of legendary. He's been working hard since he was a young teenager, dedicating himself to driving from New Jersey to New York City, sleeping on the mats, training under one of the greatest, you know, jiu-jitsu and martial arts minds of all time in John Danaher, being under that system for that long, surrounding himself with other fantastic grapplers, testing himself in various levels throughout the years, you know, slowly closing that gap and eventually just surpassing everybody. So he's the full package, man. And he also shows a level of intelligence and execution when the lights are brightest, that is also rare. And, you know, there's a lot of great up and coming talent, young teenagers as well, that were actually, you know, further along than even Gordon was at 18, 19 years old. However, Gordon, you know, he's right back into training. He's already, you know, so it's hard to close that gap when you get a guy like Gordon who's never satisfied with his performances, who's always working hard. You know, I think he trained 7 days a week, something like that, and has kept that incredible, you know, training regimen for a very long time.
Wow. Incredible. All right. Disciplined guy. And he's the best in the world. Speaking of discipline and the best in the world, let us bring on Ray Longo near the top of the show.
Ray.
Saturday. There he is. Oh, he's got a haircut too. Haircut.
What's up, guys?
Hi, Ray.
You look a little somber today. Anything I could do to bring you out of that? Or?
Oh, man. I guess I'm just trying to listen to what Kenny's saying.
A couple of fart jokes, anything that could...
No, not inordinately, no.
Okay.
No, not somber. No. Ready to go. Good to see you after a week off, my man. How's everything in your life?
Very good. Very busy. Very good. Still don't know how to focus my phone, but that's good.
That's all right. Yeah, it looks like you fit in a haircut since we last spoke. Looks like you're banging some cold brew here at 2:35 p.m. Eastern on a Saturday. So we were talking about grappling, and I don't know if you watched any of the grappling as a jiu-jitsu guy yourself, but you know, our guy Ken Flo obviously front and center at the ADCC World Championships there in Vegas.
Yeah, well, first of all, I wouldn't want to insult any jiu-jitsu guys by saying I'm a jiu-jitsu guy.
That's a joke. That's right, incorrect. It's a joke. I mean, it's a joke.
We like to keep it real. Right. We like to keep it real on the Anik Florian podcast. I mean, I don't know if I'm a jiu-jitsu guy, so is Steve Jenham.
But you're an OG jiu-jitsu guy. Like, you were training with the Gracies and all those guys in the day.
No,
man.
I'm definitely old school. Was. I was back at a good period of time. It was a great period. That learning phase when everything was new, Kenny, come on, nothing was better than that, though.
It was like you were learning magic, right? It was like gaining superpowers that no one else had.
And that was my thing, is like, what a well-put-together system. I don't know if Helio's the guy responsible, man. They just, as a martial art, they did an outstanding job at that whole thing. Just, it was beautiful. That was, you know, and being an older guy at the time who was, you know, doing something new, you appreciated that for sure.
I was joking about you being a jiu-jitsu guy, Ray.
Oh, okay. Listen, don't make me come after you. Now, I tell you.
The ADCC got my attention for more reasons than one. Certainly, when I see Gordon Ryan drawing these comparisons to some of the most dominant athletes in sport, and some suggesting that he is even that guy beyond some of the other guys like LeBron James or Tom Brady. It just it caught my attention. Then, you know, our guy Ken Flo in the goddamn smack dab in the middle of all of it. Great stuff there. Circling back to Corey Sandhagen real quick, if I could, and I want to get to Jose Aldo and Aljamain Sterling, and of course, you know, the late, great Elias Theodoro, and a number of different directions to go with you today. But Corey Sandhagen, obviously, you know, former Aljamain Sterling victim. Did you see the main event against Song Yadong about a week or so ago?
Well, yeah. So in a fight, I thought Corey did a great job. I definitely didn't have it 2-2 going into the fifth. I really thought Corey was controlling that whole thing. So I don't know, but that could be a. I'm not saying I was looking at it that closely, but you know, what I was watching looked like he was in. You know, he dictated where that fight was going most of the time.
Kenny, it's interesting for me to see from afar how you, your contemporaries, other pro fighters talk about Corey Sandhagen, you know, as this guy who, you know, I just think potential wise is championship level. And I know obviously the Florian supporters come out anytime a guy gets opened up with an elbow. So what'd you think of Corey Sandhagen?
I was impressed. You know, Corey is a tremendous fighter. His footwork, his ability to get in and out. I think he was a little bit heavy on his lead leg a little bit. You know, on his jab. So he was getting caught with some counters there. I don't think, you know, I think that he was throwing way more tools than Song, landing more shots, but the shots that Song was landing were pretty heavy shots that were kind of backing Corey up. So there were some, I guess, some scary moments. I don't know if it was like, you know, threatening to win the fight necessarily, but if he continued on that trajectory, I think he could have maybe found himself in trouble at times. But I agree with Ray that he was in control. I thought it was brilliant how he was mixing up those elbows from the short range, letting Song Yadong run into those elbows, which I really appreciate. And there were a variety of elbows, you know, it was up elbows, horizontal elbows, you know, they were pretty. And again, just a reminder to everyone who doesn't use them, they are very, very effective and can mess someone up. So it was cool to see someone throw elbows at the high level. And I thought it was a great fight between two guys that are very technical, very tough. I thought Song Yadong's takedown defense was very good. Corey was showing a new wrinkle to his game. And I thought it was really fast level changes. He just wasn't able to finish those double legs. He wasn't, you know, continuing that motion with his legs. But I think it was a nice showing for Corey to show that he is improving other aspects of his game and trying. And, you know, still one of the best in that division, no question about it.
Yeah, one more thing, John. I love what Kenny said. I agree with everything. I think with the takedowns, though, what I loved about that is, and I think he said it, but I know as it was going on, I was like, I don't even think he's looking for the takedown. He just wanted to threaten the takedown. I think that worked beautifully for him, kept that guy a little off, you know, kilt from coming forward with big bombs. You know, I never saw Corey rocked or anything like that, but he did get hit a couple of times. But for the most part, it was him leading the dance. That's the way I looked at it. And I loved the way he did go for those takedowns just to put the thought in Song's, you know, brain so that he could move forward. The only criticism with Corey, I think he's so talented and he could keep it really basic and mix up his attacks. Every so often he goes for those high percentage things, and I always think it gets him in trouble. I think it happened in the Dillashaw fight. Like, yeah, he had success with the knee with Frankie. I think he sticks to basics with his moving, switching stances, mixing up those attacks. I think he's going to be hard to beat. And every so often he goes for something, and I think it just creates another problem for him. That's what I'm seeing. But
yeah,
everything else is absolutely beautiful.
And Ray, I used to love cutting people up with those elbows, but Corey's nastier than me, man. You know why? Because I would never split your dong. Got him. Got him. Yes.
Oh, shoot.
Got him.
Kenflo's been at this
I'm
a while.
Rubbing off. I think I'm rubbing off on you guys.
Yeah. I know. I had to. That was for Ray, really. Yeah.
Ray, last thing I'll say, as the coach of this division's undisputed champion, you got to like that Corey Sandhagen and Marlon Chito Vera seem to have already aligned, and it looks like potentially those two could fight. I just think it's nice for the promotion, for the fans, that you have a guy like Chito, who is the most accomplished finisher in UFC bantamweight history, who could be stubborn and maybe lay claim to a title fight, and instead he wants to fight this super dangerous guy. You know, Sandhagen, obviously the Dillashaw fight didn't go his way, but again, you just have guys who want to fight and want to, like, state their case. Sandhagen has an interesting case if Aljo's still the guy. I don't know. I just like the fact that those two guys are willing and able and are probably going to fight before they get to your guy potentially, you know? Look,
more importantly, so many great fights in that division. I mean, those first six or eight guys, you could mix, throw them in a hat, mix them up, and every fight is a great fight. So the fans win on that. When the UFC wins, we all win.
Gregory Rodriguez wins over Chidi Njokuani by TKO. Not sure his wife wins. Man, what an incredible, incredible performance, and a super tough athlete. And that's home team for us, right? That's JC Santana. That's Institute of Human Performances, Gregory Rodriguez. Ray, man, that dude got split wide open, but he gets a win, a bonus, and all the shine that comes with it.
Hey, listen, having power isn't a bad thing. When you always have that in your back pocket, that could happen at any time. And this guy was really willing to walk through fire with that cut. Was brutal. Brutal. I don't even know what that, I don't even know what I was looking at. I saw something. It could have been a bone.
I don't know what it is.
A fish oil capsule in there or something. I don't know what that thing was.
Yeah. It was one of the worst places to get cut too. I mean, it was like one of those T cuts. It was like across his nose, up and down. It was like a perfect cross. It looked nasty, man. It was bleeding all over the place, and luckily he was able to come back from it. But man, I mean, wow.
Yeah, if he doesn't have one punch knockout power, that's a bad. That turns into a bad fight. But that guy's a Terminator, man. He really won over a lot of fans with that, man. It was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
I know that he was probably stitched up shortly there. I'd like to talk to the plastic surgeon and see how he plans on rectifying that situation. But all right, a few other things we want to get to here with Ray Longo. And again, appreciate you carving out a few minutes for us on a Saturday. We understand you're in high demand. How is Aljamain Sterling doing, by the way? Less than a month to go. You got the itinerary you could share with the audience for his fight on Eddie Hot Airwaves or what?
I think he's coming back today, but he's definitely putting the work in. He sends me sparring, and he's definitely sparring a lot. And he was on a sprint program, so I'm happy. His cardio will be in place. And I think he comes back today, so I'll know more next week for you.
You know he's one of my favorite people, so I can say. A little bit quirky. He may not tell you exactly when he's coming back. All of a sudden, he's just walking the door, and it's like, oh, champ is here.
he doesn't like
to be called the champ. Speaking of quirky, Ken Flo, Aljamain Sterling, don't call him the champ.
He doesn't like it, huh? He doesn't like that?
Nope.
I like it. That means he's focused. He doesn't want to get, you know.
He's holding to that, but he's the champ to all of us down here at the gym. So he could say, don't call him the champ. It ain't going to work because he is the champ. He earned it.
He is.
Can't be happy for a guy than him, man. He's definitely a great guy.
Yeah, I learned the hard way calling Aljo champ one too many times.
Really? He got nasty with you.
Yeah, calf kick? I'm like, come on, man.
Oh, wow. No, he didn't calf kick you, did he?
He did not.
That's bad.
All right.
Very bad.
The King of Rio, Jose Aldo, stepping away. For all intents and purposes, ends his mixed martial arts career here. Pro debut in 2004, started 7-0 in the UFC. The wins, Mark Hominick, our guy Ken Flo in his second UFC fight, Chad Mendes, Frankie Edgar, Chan Sung Jung, Ricardo Lamas, and then the rematch with Chad Mendes. Then he fights Conor McGregor at UFC 194, loses in 13 seconds, fought 12 times thereafter. And I think that's where a big part of his appreciation comes in with MMA fans. Not necessarily that a big part of his legacy was built, but it is this tertiary phase of this incredible legacy. He goes 6-6 after the McGregor fight, became the undisputed featherweight champ for a second time. That was courtesy of an interim title fight win over Frankie Edgar. He was later promoted. What else can you say? I'd like to start with Ken Flo if I could, because he fought the guy in 2011 in what was Kenny's retirement fight. Jose Aldo steps away and, you know, his bankroll's fatter than mine.
One of the best to ever do it. Okay. When you look at the innovation that he brought into the game of mixed martial arts, the consistency, he was undefeated for like 10 years, had the UFC belt for around 6 years. You know, that level of consistency and the fact that, you know, here is a guy who didn't come from a wrestling background yet was virtually impossible to take down. His physical gifts as a fighter, his speed, his explosiveness, you know, the fact that you knew he was going to leg kick you and there was nothing you could do to stop it when he was in his prime. The improvements in his boxing game and his footwork and his head movement. He was always evolving. He was always getting better. And I agree. I think that unfortunately for a lot of the fans who came into the game a little bit later, they didn't even see Jose Aldo in his prime, but still appreciate the fact that here was a guy that when I was fighting him had trouble getting down to 145 pounds, cut down to 135 pounds, and still was extremely effective. I think that, you know, in that last fight against Merab, I think it was both Merab, right? You have to give credit to Merab what he was able to do to Jose Aldo, but also perhaps I don't know, maybe a slight deterioration in Jose Aldo's maybe skills, maybe it was age, and maybe it was some of the mental stuff where, you know, I think a younger Jose Aldo would have been more active. And I think, you know, and we saw it, you know, he's not in his prime anymore, but he's done everything there is to do in this game. And I think he's getting out at the right time. I retired at 36 years old. He achieved way more than I did, becoming one of the greatest champions that I've ever seen fight. I just feel honored that I had the opportunity to fight him, learn from a great champion like him. And I still think that he's going to be the kind of fighter that we only appreciate further on down the line as we look back at his career. I think he's that good, and I still think he's underrated as a fighter.
Yeah, really, really well said. I would say that the key for me, too, is what Kenny said. Not only did he have trouble making 45, then it just goes to show you how disciplined he is. Because at a later age, to go down in weight is even crazier. But he did it. He had success. And I agree with Kenny. Look, even when Marab fought him, we were catching Aldo at the right time, right? Even though he was on win streaks, he was standing up with everybody. He's very comfortable. The guy's boxing is incredible. Marab's a different cat. He's going to push it at different levels. And if you don't have the cardio, which when you're making that weight, you know, when he's able to control the dance, he could do that all day long. But with Marab, it was a different thing. It was a different energy output. I just think he couldn't do both, right? If Marab chose to stand up with him and never go for a takedown, obviously it would have been a different fight. But Marab put the fight where he wanted it. Jose couldn't do anything about it. And again, there's a variety of reasons, but it does not take away from the guy's legacy at one bit. This is a guy that, like, again, I love good boxing and strong leg kicks. I think that's a prerequisite to everything. And he had it. He almost was like a mini, if you go way back, like a mini Marco Huas, right? You know what I mean? He had decent boxing. Marco, he had the big, heavy leg kicks. Jose, man, his boxing got better. That's another thing. Not only did he make the weight, I really think his boxing improved, which to get an athlete at that age to change a little bit is not easy. So hats off to Jose Aldo. I mean, go back, look at his highlight reel. Absolutely incredible. I think he's an inspiration for everybody who's come from nothing to achieve something. You know, we call it the American dream here. I'm sure he's well off, and hopefully he's living really well in Brazil. But this is a guy, man, come on. Kenny fought the guy in 2011. That's insane to me.
Yeah,
that's insane. And the guy started in 2004, and just to have that longevity is incredible. So there's so many things you could point out with Jose Aldo, but I tell you, the fact that cutting to 35 at a later age and being successful when you've been through some tough times, super impressive.
He definitely made wholesale lifestyle changes, right? And it really is about discipline. You know, like 100%. If Khamzat Chimaev was hell-bent on becoming the undisputed UFC welterweight champion, he could live the lifestyle of a welterweight 24/7, 365, and I think he could get there. But yes, there was a late focus in Jose Aldo's career, undeniably, on boxing. Did parts of three training camps with the Olympic boxing team there in Brazil. And, you know, obviously when he set his mind to improving that part of his game, you know, he did so to the nth degree. Certainly one of the greatest Brazilian fighters of all time, if not the singular most accomplished Brazilian mixed martial arts athlete of all time. And I don't even know how you quantify his greatness. You know, it's a hard thing to do, right? It's very rare to have a division where you have three guys who can lay claim to being the greatest featherweight of all time. You don't really have that problem at bantamweight. You know, TJ Dillashaw's legacy has a little bit of an issue, right? There aren't that many people challenging Dominic Cruz as the greatest bantamweight of all time, at least in terms of the consensus, right? I would actually submit to you that Aljamain Sterling is closing the distance at 35, but 45, Jose Aldo, Max Holloway, Alexander Volkanovski, you can go in any number of different directions. But in terms of what Kenny was saying about Jose Aldo's big picture greatness, like, history is going to look back very fondly upon this guy. And I think that might actually be better for him. I think he'll probably headline the UFC's class of 2023 in the UFC Hall of Fame. And we just wanted to carve out a few minutes. And Ken Flo won round one, by the way. Can you imagine how anxious I was after Ken Flo won round one? Like, let's go, Ken Flo. But again, I will say,
look, I'm going to say it 100 times over again. Kenny fought Jose Aldo when he was Jose Aldo. And a lot of guys,
Kenny's just not a featherweight.
I mean, that in the last 3 or 4 years, they can't. That guy was a wrecking machine when Kenny fought him.
Kenny's just not a featherweight. Like, Kenny won the first round. He walks back to his stool and he's just like, you know, in his head, he's like, man, you know, how are we going to do this for five rounds? A few other headlines before we let you go. Did you guys see on Dana White's Contender Series this Raul Rosas Jr. getting to the UFC at 17 years of age, Kenny? I hope I'm getting his name right. I didn't see it.
Rosas, right? Rosas, is that
17 years of age and looks ready to go, huh?
Crazy. Again, when you see that that age, right? And everyone was talking about it. I was like, oh, I got to check this out. And it happened to be on YouTube or whatever. So I watched it. I was really impressed with just his maturity, his aggressiveness, his confidence heading into that fight. At 17 years old against another dude at a bunch of fights. He's something, man. He's going to be something. There's no question about that. I was really impressed with his grappling, that he was making some mistakes over and over again. But, you know, other than that, a kid at 17 years old, there is so much potential. If I was the UFC, I would have locked him up as well. So I think he's going to do big things. To see, again, to go from ADCC, to see guys like the Rotolo brothers at 19 years old, Mika Gavau, 18 years old, compete like true veterans in jiu-jitsu. And then to see a 17-year-old do that in mixed martial arts, it's mind-blowing. Like, I was a complete idiot at 17 years old. I was a complete idiot at 25 years old, let alone
27, 17, I was going to say.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Kenny, let's be honest. I'm a complete idiot at 64. it never ends.
It's crazy. I mean, the dedication that this kid had. Again, he didn't just turn around. Like, you don't see a kid perform like that, and he's, you know, been dedicating himself for the last 6 months. He had to have been doing this since he was – you know, before he was even a teenager. He had that focus, that vision of wanting to be a professional mixed martial artist and fight at the highest levels. You don't see that every day. 17 years old, dude? Unbelievable.
Yeah. I think 17 is the key. First off, you could tell he's a fighter. He looks like a fighter. He actually reminds me, you guys probably don't remember him, Salvador Sanchez. He died at like 20, youngest probably.
Unbelievable boxer from Mexico. Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of looks like him. He's got the hair and the nose. And
Salvador Sanchez just had more of like a fro, right?
Back in that time, 100%. So I would have did a developmental, not even, but just wait. I think wait a little bit. I don't want to see the kid get burnt out at 17. I think the way he spoke, you could see his mind is still developing and, you know, He's right where he wants to be, but I wouldn't rush this kid at all. And I think that they'll be careful when they match him up, but I definitely wouldn't rush him. I don't think he's ready for that, but he is, you know, you give this kid a year or two, who the hell knows what's going to happen?
That,
you know what I mean?
That's an extremely important point that Ray.
Yeah. I just think mentally, that's a lot, you know what I mean? And I think he's right where he wants to be. If he would have went out and smoked that guy in the first round, I would think a little different. But like Kenny said, there were a couple of mistakes made, which is understandable. Again, you got to go back to the kid, 17. He's incredible, but you know, he is talking about submitting people in the UFC. Couldn't submit a guy that wasn't in the UFC, you know. So that's why I say where the emotional maturity has to come in. We know you could look at that kid and tell he's a fighter. There's no question about it. The key is not to rush him too much, I think. And that's, you got to remember, in boxing, they'd be giving him feeder fights and they build him up. By the time he's 20, he's ready to go crazy, right? But if they rush this guy too much and give him bad fights, I think it'll be something that won't be good. You know, he'll become like a journeyman really quick. So I hope they do the right thing. But you could definitely see the kid's got talent. He's young. He's definitely, like, again, if anybody looks like a fighter, it's that guy. So you know, I wish him the best, but I hope that he doesn't get rushed too much because, you know, sometimes you're a little excited and, you know, you don't want anybody using that excitement to your disadvantage.
Sure. No, I think that's well put. It's a big roster. And I think in terms of the matchmaking, they'll handle him well.
Yes.
And I would also say promotionally, like if he gets a developmental deal, he's certainly not getting any air on the Anakin Florian podcast of that, I can assure you. So. UFC contract gets a little time.
About him,
that's not true. How many times have we talked about the Contender Series during the Ray Longo match?
What,
you think I'm barking? I'm wearing your fucking logo today, my man.
I told you, you were in a cranky mood this morning.
Why
the hostility? What's going on?
No, everything's good.
I know you well enough to know. Is it
good.
Saturday afternoon? Is that what that's
not at all.
Not at all.
This might be the first Saturday show in the history of the podcast. Not at all. No. If we were doing the show on Sunday, maybe I would be, you know, because of the NFL. No, we're good. We're good. Hey, do you think Kenny dyes his beard? Yes or no?
Gosh.
Ooh. I'm going to say he dyes his beard.
How could he not, right? But he doesn't. Isn't that amazing?
Because I know if I get any grays, it's in my beard most of the time. So that's the reason I'm saying that. Because I mean, it looks great, though, Kenny.
Yeah, it is. See, my dad didn't get, like, gray hair probably till he was, like, late 50s, something like that. You know, look at Ray. Ray barely has any gray hair.
I'll tell you, my father had jet black hair until he was in his 60s. He had a couple of stragglers in there. But, oh, yeah.
I'm chalking that up to my Italian blood, see?
There you go. That's what I love about that olive oil.
Exactly.
I mean, Kenflo can keep some things close to the vest, but that would not be something that he would need to lie to the audience about.
Yeah, I would tell you. I wouldn't be ashamed. I'd be like,
unbelievable.
First time I dye this hair, I'll announce it on the show. I promise.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Man. Before
red light
we let
therapy.
You go.
Red lights every day. Do it.
I know. Yes.
That could be
Bitcoin,
the trick.
Bitcoin and red lights. You're set for life.
See? That's the problem.
That Bitcoin,
right there.
That Bitcoin's taking a beating.
Yeah, it is.
Bitcoin's fine. It's fine. It's over 19.
Long term.
Relax.
Long-term.
It's a long term play, honey. Yes. Honey. It's a long term play.
Yeah, I tell you, Kenny, something's up with him today. Trust me. It's going to come out.
The audience thinks I'm on cocaine. Na 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 na, and you wanna ride on cocaine?
What is going on?
No, I actually, I guess this would probably be a good time to tell this audience that I went out to dinner with my wife's family very early on, and I guess I was doing this a lot with my nose. If you're just listening, like rubbing my nose. I've never done cocaine in my life. You know why? Because I bet it's amazing, right? I bet it's amazing. I bet I would love it. Right,
holy, you guys, bro, he's on something. It doesn't have to be
something.
Cocaine. How about propane? Adderall? How about Adderall? Take any Adderall.
Oh, do you have any? Something. I need some. I actually don't.
How about this? Did you crush up an Adderall in your coffee today? Because you're at it. You're out of control.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Kenny, I've seen addiction in many faces, and this is one of them. And this is one of them right here.
The first step is admitting you have a problem. Yeah.
First step is taking off your hat in the middle of a podcast. That's the first sign I noticed. Why'd the hat come off?
I took it off to highlight how white my beard is relative to the hair on my head. But I guess there's very little of that because I shaved it recently. So it didn't work, you know? Riding me hard, New York, today, huh?
Yes.
I can start throwing it back in your direction, but we're sober for the telecast today. Incidentally, really are.
Why don't we do a drunk podcast one day? We all just do doing shots during the middle of the podcast.
I think I owe someone at least like two shoeies or something. So sure John does at some point. Ray,
we'll
get you drunk for no reason. Yeah, we should do one.
Now
maybe
that I think about it,
Cinco de Mayo or something.
Yeah. I drank last night more than I usually do.
See, I knew it was something. Kenny, here it comes, Kenny. I told you.
I think that might be it. You know, I actually, at one point, I don't drink wine. I grabbed a bottle of Sauvignon Blanc and started drinking it from the bottle. So maybe there is a residual thing going on here today.
Yeah. No, John, you're perfectly within your scope.
Wrath of grapes.
Your mother-in-law can do that to you. You started reaching for anything with alcohol in it.
Probably a bad time to tell you that today's podcast is brought to you in part by UFC Fight Pass, right? Before we go, and I'm going to get a little bit serious on you, and then we'll end on a lighter note. Elias Theodoro was somebody who crossed your wake repeatedly throughout his UFC career. And one thing that Ray and I have talked about privately, as we all get older, is that you lose people and it happens more frequently. Now, in this case, Elias was only 34 years of age. And, you know, it's hard because life goes on. And when the three of us pass, life goes on. Oh. And, you know, so it's almost like a blessing, I guess, in disguise that we didn't have a podcast last week so that when maybe people stop talking about this kid, even though we did talk about it 2 weeks ago, that people are still talking about Elias Theodoro because he was a great, great man. And, I just wanted you to have a minute, you know, at least to this audience, to share your thoughts on Elias Theodoro.
Yeah, you know, I got the news right before we went on that time, so I didn't say anything because I didn't know, you know, first of all, I didn't verify anything, you know, that type of stuff. You don't want to make that mistake. But, you know, like, again, we did talk about that. Like, as, you know, when you get older and even your parents get older, there's that circle of life. You can accept it a little more when somebody's 85 or 90 and they had a great run and, you know, it's just the way things are. But when you see a kid is vibrant and is good looking, the long flowing hair, I mean, just 30, it's just too young. Guy was one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. I think Heidi Dean said it, man, he was like Aladdin or the guy from, you know, he was that swashbuckler from the 20s. I mean, just a great guy. You could see he loved life too. He was, you know, somebody sent me a picture. One of the times he was here, we took him out to a restaurant, and man, he had a buddy. I think his name is Lachlan. The guy's a brilliant guy, just one of the smartest kids I ever met. But you know, these guys, the Canadians, are just nice people, and Elias really fit that mold. I can't, you know, say anything, but man, it really just bothered me. It's just I hope his family, I hope everybody's, you know, come to grips with whatever they had to deal with. But you know, the funniest story I could tell you is that the first time he was here, I remember he gets a package. Oh, I go, what's this? He goes, no, it's from one of my sponsors, because I think he was living here for not a while, but maybe staying a month or two, whatever. He opens up the thing, it's like 80 bottles of Pert shampoo.
Oh, this is it.
This is what I'm getting, a bottle of Pert shampoo. I love it. But that was Elias, man. I tell you, that was one of his sponsors, and he had the hair to back it up. So rest in peace, buddy, man. He's just a nice guy. Unfortunately, it was a short time, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, and I still use Pert Plus. I was actually trying to push it on my daughter last night, you know.
Oh, wow.
Maybe the original 2-in-1, and it still worked.
Unbelievable. Just
not for her hair necessarily with that conditioner. Well, I will say the annual AFPA Awards, the Anakin Florian Podcast Awards, for better or for worse, certainly for worse, but have given us a chance to sort of memorialize some people, Adam Snacksgeller. So we are the only show in the MMA stratosphere that gives out an annual hottest MMA male fighter award to the most attractive male fighter on the roster. Now, we've been doing this for a long time, and that is now the Elias Theodoro hottest male fighter award. And, he would be honored with that distinction because he was vain and he was very attractive.
Listen, you know, another funny story. I took Mizuki to Invicta, and he was there. He was the round card boy in Invicta. Which
the ring boy, yes.
You know, when he came over to say hello, I saw Mizuki, like, looking at him, like, her eyes were like, you know, Aladdin. It was like McDreamy. You know what I mean? It was, I go, but Mizuki? I mean, I never saw her have any emotion with anything. He even melted Mizuki down. It was crazy.
That's hilarious.
But just a great guy who embraced being good looking, you know.
That should be the caption for the show. He even melted Mizuki down. I mean, that's it. Man. That's the best line of the show, like, right there.
I saw awesome. Like somebody shot Cupid's arrow into a head. Like a fucking just walking around. I mean, like, wow.
You wouldn't get on a magic carpet with that fucking guy, you know? Yeah,
he's good.
All right, so well, hopefully Aljo shows up on the East Coast and you guys get to Abu Dhabi safely. And I look forward to shaking your hand here in about a month's time. We got a big one, Aljo and TJ Dillashaw. I have some strong opinions on this fight that I'll keep to myself until after the fight.
Yeah, please don't be confrontational until after the fight. I have to focus.
With who? With you?
Yeah, yeah.
Now I worry about me. You're trying to get me to fight Steve Lee. Listen, you're not worried about me.
I know what it man. You, this guy, he, you see, like, see how he takes everything in and internalizes. I already forgot about that. He's gonna harbor that for the rest of his life. But listen, it's understandable. You were out with your in-laws, and you couldn't get enough alcohol in you. We've all been there. It's all good.
All right,
it's all good. But that's what's affecting the show today.
Yeah, well, hopefully for the positive. People have been waiting a long time for this 366th iteration of the program. So we're going to let you get back to your Saturday, though, Ray. We appreciate your time.
And, all right. And one last thing, John. I got fights tonight at the Space in Westbury. Anybody listening out there, come down. Great MMA action going on. We have Austin, Humble Halleck, and Big Mike Curio fighting. So we got a couple of good fights. I had a girl who's phenomenal, Mia. and Zarello fighting, but her fight got canceled, so I'm disappointed about that. But the other two guys are two of the nicest guys and most talented guys you'll ever meet. I got one guy's a mini Kane Velasquez. Not a mini. He might be
Kane Velasquez.
And Austin's there. They're both undefeated, and they're both going to have great careers coming up in the future. So shout out to those guys, and we're going to have a big night tonight. Big celebration.
I wish you all the best with it. If you are listening live on 107.3, you can see those fights tonight at the Mirage. No. You're acting like we're live on the radio or something. And people, hey, if you're out there listening, you know, you can see fucking Joey Hurley fighting tonight under the lights.
Kenny, I swear. Wait a minute. Are you telling me this show's not live? Are you telling me this isn't live? Tell
live
me to my
to
face.
Tape. It's live to tape.
All this time I thought the fucking show was live. Bullshit.
Some of them have been. This one is not.
Come on,
thank goodness.
Man.
Hey, have a great day and a better evening. Good. We'll talk to you next week, all right?
Take it easy, guys.
See you, right. 107.3, John. That's WAAF in Boston.
All right.
Oh, that's good stuff.
WAAF. No
John,
longer.
John, you got that last shot in. I give you the round for sure on that.
Thank you.
That
I appreciate good. That. Yeah, that I don't know that Longo wants to engage with me verbally. Comes on the program. I don't know if he's in the back, but immediately he's like, you're somber today. Am I somber now? Today's episode brought to you in part by UFC Fight Pass. Get the best they have to offer on the Fight Pass 24/7 stream, offering a constant channel of historic fight action all day, all night. Tune in, sit back, and enjoy a network created by fans for fans. Step into our world, UFCFightPass.com. I'd encourage you to watch Jose Aldo, Kenny Florin, UFC 136, I believe, and see what you think about that round one. I actually thought it might have been 2-1 Ken Flo after three. But I'm not the most objective party. All right, Brian Petrie coming up in about a minute. Before we do that, we are going to get to the pronunciation of the week because the UFC has a live event coming up Saturday, October 1st from the old Apex UFC Fight Night, Dern versus Jan, Mackenzie Dern and Jan Shaonan, your strawweight main event. And we welcome on our producer to the stars, Cody Merrow. How'd you like the Ray Longo minute today, Cody?
How the fuck do I follow that, huh? I mean...
I don't know.
Gee, I was just crying, laughing. I had to give myself a huff count to prepare to get on the show after that.
I mean, normally I would have to apologize to Petrie, who's been waiting a quarter of an hour, but I think he probably enjoyed being the only one who got to see that live. Maybe not.
I don't even know if Ray was kidding. That's the best part.
All right, let us get to the pronunciation of the week, and you'll join us, of course, at the end of the show for the Merrow Seconds to clean up anything we missed. So we got a couple files to play today. This fighter kicks off the main card. He will do so against the returning Mike Davis in the lightweight division. Who am I talking about, Cody?
Vechislav Borshev.
Well, that sure as fuck ain't it. Let's let's hear the file.
See, Ray just like set me up for failure here.
Vyacheslav Borshev. Vyacheslav Borshev.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Pretty close.
Vyacheslav Borshev.
Yeah. Well, horseshoes and hand grenades, huh?
It doesn't look like it. It looks like Vyacheslav, which I think he kind of says, but Borshev is what we're going with. Yeah, Ken Flo got it. Cody, we got one other file. Now, this is a lightweight from Brazil, nicknamed Neto BJJ. He fights Jesse Ronson. And this is one I want to play for the masses because every time we call a fight involving this guy, the pronunciation police is out. So would you kindly give us a shot? Give us your take and then play the file, if you would.
Yeah, isn't this one Joakim Silva?
It's not Joakim, but that's close.
So no.
Let's hear what he says.
Joaquim Silva, Neto BJJ.
João, just like
Joaquim
João.
Silva Joaquim. Neto BJJ.
Joaquim. Can't flow. That's exactly what I thought. I said just like João Zeferino, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like that.
Ken Flo also just got off of ADCC where that was like...
It's true.
That's every other word. That's like hearing the word like in LA.
It is.
I actually went to Dominic Cruz's house a couple days ago when I was in Vegas, and I ran into a couple guys who lived with Ken Flo like 20 years ago in Brazil. Their names
really?
Are escaping me right now. We can talk about that off the air.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. A
couple of fine individuals. All right. We got some predictions to make, and I think I have six for these guys to give for you today. So let us get to the main event challenge.
the main event challenge. Anik.
The time is most definitely now.
Florian.
I finished fights! I'm gonna do everything possible to win.
The main event challenge. The John Anik and Kenny Florian podcast.
And for this very exercise, we call on Big Gun Brian.
Hey!
Your patience today, sir.
Hey, listen, that you bodied Ray. I'm a long guy.
He got him. He got him at the end.
You bodied Ray at the end with the live radio because, like Cody said, I don't know if he knows it's live. I don't know. It was very funny.
Well,
I'm laughing. It was 10-8. 10-8, John Anik. I love it.
I mean, we're all fathers in here, right? I mean, yes. Who started it, right? I mean, this dude's riding me from moment one. It's nice to see you for the first time in 2 weeks, Ray. And he's like, you look somber today. Okay. That's the tone setter.
That's okay. Ray, man.
So how are you, brother?
I'm doing well, boys. Doing good. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. So it's UFC Fight Night, Dern versus Jan. And sometimes we have a prelim fight that to me just has relevance, maybe more so than some other main card selection. So we're going to begin with this fight at middleweight between a couple guys who I think are on the cusp of the top 15. Christoph Jotko, minus 135. Brendan Allen, plus 115. Both have won two straight. Brendan Allen, born in 1995. It's crazy how young this guy still is, Brian Petrie. What do you have for us on Jotko and Allen? Short price on either side, depending on if you're strongly inclined on Jotko or Allen.
Yeah, I'm back on fading my Jocko shit. I went heavy on Jared Mearskar last time out. This guy just, you know what it is he plays it safe and he squeaks out decisions. And I guess I don't like that style, or I'm not willing to rely money on a decision win or whatever. He's not really a finisher, but Brendan Allen, young kid, big kid for the division. He's confident. He's aggressive. He's going to push a pace. He's good everywhere. Jocko's got that weird karate style. His takedown defense looks pretty good, but I think Brendan Allen just using the size and aggression and not playing this pace game, and you're giving me plus money. Add it to my card. I like Brendan Allen just for the sake of it. Let's go sub. I like Allen by sub.
Can't flow Jocko, Brendan Allen. Which way are you going, kid? Oh, Ken Flo's on mute.
Ah, sorry.
There he is.
I'm going with Jotko here. I think that Brendan is aggressive, and that's what can get him caught here against Jotko. You know, Brendan's just too inconsistent for me to kind of rely on. That's the big problem on for me on Brendan is he's got a ton of potential. He's got a ton of talent. He's got a ton of skills. But sometimes, you know, strategy-wise, you know, he leaves some there to be desired. So I don't know. I'm going to go with Jotko just because he's very consistent. I don't think he's as skilled as Brendan Allen. I don't think he's as talented as Brendan Allen, but I think he's more consistent, and I see him squeaking out another classic Jotko decision.
No. All right, next fight for us at heavyweight, and this is the featured prelim, and we're picking this for more reasons than one. Alir Latifi, minus 180. Alexi Olenek, plus 155. Fight was initially to go down in Columbus, Ohio, back in March in front of the watchful eyes of one Brian Petrie. Latifi withdrew due to illness day of the event. Fight was rebooked 2 weeks later, UFC 273 in Jacksonville. Latifi forced to withdraw again. Correct me if I'm wrong, BP, if Olenek like does this again at 57 years old, you're shaving your head. Is that what we got going on or what?
Yeah, So I made this bet back in March when we picked this fight in Jersey. I was all over Latifi, right? Now, after seeing Olenek go in there with Vanderaa and get the shit kicked out of him, and then with like a minute left, pull the guy's fucking head off his shoulders. I'm like, let me throw a pause here. But Latifi's been out for a little bit, but I'm gonna be a man of my word. My wife actually wanted to cut my hair yesterday. I said, let's hold off on that because I might just need to be shaving this whole fucking thing off. Yeah. So, man of my word, I'm back in Latifi. Minus 180 is something I'm not jumping through hoops for right now. But I'm a man of my word. I'm going to do the shave the head of Olenek wins. I'll take the hair off. And as far as the fight goes, I do like Latifi. I do think he's a good wrestler. I think he can stay safe. But fucking Alexi Olenek, man, you can't. He's like the hardest guy to cap. I mean, literally, if you just want to be feeling a little frisky, throw like a 25 spot on him, winning by submission. You can get some extra cash there. But my official pick is going to be Latifi.
Oh, Olenek's a scary guy. He was in the back after doing what he did to Jared Vandera, explaining it to the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, Jared Vandera. Like, Olenek's trying to give somebody a dirt nap in there. You know, I was like, careful, man. Ken Flo, what do you have for this fight? Alir Latifi, about a 2-1 favorite here against the ageless Alexi Olenek.
If Olenek gets an Ezekiel choke, BP, is that like a tattoo bet? Are we upping the ante a little bit?
Ooh,
there you go. All right, there we go.
I'm working on a sleeve, so I'm not afraid of tattoos, man.
Yeah.
Long's on the neck. John keeps throwing out tattoos on his neck. That's ballsy. My mom would kill me, but yeah, let will do a tattoo bet. Sure.
Olenek just across.
Olenek right across the throat. That'll go over well.
Yeah, listen, I think Olenek is always dangerous, right? But I think this is a good matchup for Latifi. I think he'll find a way to kind of keep it on the feet. He's got big power. You know, Olenek has always kind of struggled a little bit on the feet. So let's go with Latifi as well.
40-yard dash, Alexi Olenek, Roxanne Modafferi, and me. I win it going away.
Yeah. No,
what do you think about the two of them head-to-head? Roxanne Modafferi, Alexi Olenek, 40-yard dash.
I'm going to go, you know, I love Roxy. I'm going to go Olenek. You know, I'm not, you know, I think I got to see how Roxy runs. Cause I think Olenek is just a head down. I'm going to run and he just doesn't stop. So yeah. I'm going to go Olenek beating her on a 40.
All right. Maybe that'll be the poll question of the week. Maybe not actually, Cody, let's not do that. All right. At bantamweight, nice main card showcase here for a couple of sort of lesser known guys. John Castaneda, minus 210. Daniel Santos is plus 180. Castaneda, I was looking at it earlier today, pretty tough schedule throughout his MMA career. He's won two in a row now, both in the UFC, and draws Santos, who fought his UFC debut back in April and dropped it by decision to the talented Julio Arce, who fought pretty well that night. Brian Petrie, yes. Daniel Santos, John Castaneda, who do you like?
Man, the sexy Mexi Castaneda. That's a beautiful nickname right there. Good. And listen, he looked pretty sexy in that Miles John fight. Miles John's a solid grappler, and he got him out of there. I really like that. I think this kid's boxing is good. He's tough. He's got a wealth of experience being 30 years old. He's actually got two out of his five losses, two of them by a guy named Matt Brown, not the Immortal, which is pretty funny. I love when these guys have these weird records like that. And Santos got kind of fed to the wolves a little bit. Julio Arce is an established guy in the UFC, and you know, Santos is good, but he's flashy. And sometimes these flashy guys that like to spin a lot, they slow down. And I like the steadiness of Castaneda. I like just the constant pressure he's going to do. And I think he went everywhere. Although I do think Santos is very tough. He's never been finished. I like the over in this fight, but my pick is going to be Castaneda by decision.
Ken Flo, I've never seen Castaneda fight live. Excited to do so here in a week or so. What are your thoughts on this one? Castaneda the favorite.
Yeah, I'm wondering if he's like anglicizing his last name, Castaneda, or it's Castaneda or not. But anyways, I like him too, man. I think he beats Santos. I think his wrestling background is going to certainly help him there. And I just think he's a little bit more consistent. Santos is dangerous. And that's the kind of, you know, BP alluded to it very well. Those spinning back kicks are dangerous. You know, those wheel kicks you got to watch out for. But yeah, I like Castaneda here as well.
Well, I can't. Here's the file. Let's see.
What does he say?
Castaneda. Castaneda.
Oh, he goes Castaneda. He anglicizes it. Mexi. Okay.
Castaneda. Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha. Cool.
All right. Moving on now. Same division. Haoni Barcelos, minus 215. Trevin Five Star Jones, plus 185. Barcelos, a name that sort of resonates, I think, with a lot of UFC fans. He started 5-0. In the octagon since, though, he's dropped two in a row. Trevin Jones, also a hot starter in the Big Show BP before falling back a little bit. He's lost his last two as well. Something's got to give. Which way are you going on this one?
Yeah, I used to think Barcelos was a dark horse in this division, but he's dropped two in the last one against a short notice newcomer, and he's 35 now. You know, it's like, I think he's got all the skills in the world. He's a little inconsistent, doesn't fight a whole lot. I think maybe the title's out of his reach, but I do think this is a good fight because Trevin Jones, five-star Jones, excuse me, great nickname as well. He's durable, good cardio, can flatline you. But the problem is he starts so slow, and then he relies on that power as the fight goes on. I think of a guy like Barcelos, I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's leaps and bounds better everywhere if he mixes everything up, unless he wants to go out there and try to prove something coming off a two-fight skid. I don't see that happen. I see him being smart here. I like him by decision. But if you're feeling frisky, you can take Jones by KO, which I'm sure is going to be a gorgeous plus number because he does have that one-hitter quitter.
And you're right. Five stars, a great nickname. Gives an announcer a lot with which to work. Ken Flo, Trevin Jones, Haoni Barcelos, which way are you going?
Yeah, I think that Barcelos is a little bit better everywhere than Trevin. You know, I do think Trevin has more power, in particularly in his punches. But I think where Trevin is going to struggle, I think, is with the speed, you know, cutting off the cage early, you know, getting off to a good start. I think that's where Barcelos can kind of run away from. However, Trevin's fighting him at a good time, you know, where Barcelos is probably a little bit low on confidence, certainly lower than he was when he started. But we're seeing a little bit of a decline in Barcelos' game a little bit. Certainly was a surprise him dropping, you know, those last two. But I still like the Brazilian here.
All right, co-main event in the welterweight division. Randy Brown, modest 285. Francisco Trinaldo, plus 240. 26th UFC fight for Massaranduba. He's won two in a row. He has 18 UFC wins overall. Rude Boy surging on the other side. Three straight wins, BP, last of which came against the talented Chaos Williams at UFC 274. Randy Brown, big favorite here against Trinaldo. How do you see it playing out?
I've been waiting all day to talk about Rude Boy. This is my guy right now. He's in the pocket. And I usually don't get excited about guys who are coming off two decision wins, one a split. But he is leaps and bounds better in his improvement. He can talk a little bit. He's got swagger in there. He, like, destroyed his toe in that one fight, but then just kept fighting. Chin has always been a little bit questioned, but he's kind of put that aside. I mean, he got rocked in the Chaos fight, recovered well, and he's fucking massive. I mean, I know he's got skinny legs, but he's massive for 170 pounds. And enter Trinaldo. Here's my guy who I think he's a dead ringer from the dad from Friday. I think he looks exactly like the actor from the dad from Friday, who I believe has passed away. So RIP. He's 40. He says he's 44. I think he's 64, but it doesn't matter because he's nails, right? Goes out there, fights at 185 in the Brazilian Ultimate Fighter 20 years ago, fights at 185. Now he's at 170. And he's just durable. He's tough. He's gritty. He hits hard. But the thing is, you know, the guys he's fought at 170 are a little bit lower competition. I think this is a big step up. I was actually surprised Randy got this fight. I thought Randy maybe deserved a bigger name, not disrespecting Trinaldo or whatever. He's obviously a legend in the UFC with what John just laid out. But, you know, at 170, I just don't think that's the biggest name in the world. But I love Randy Brown here. I know Trinaldo is burned me in the past, but I'll pay 3-1. I think Rubo styles on him. I think this is a really good parlay piece. For anyone out there looking for a parlay, if they want to pay that big number. So give me Rude Boy.
I'm going to start challenging these fighters to these 40-yard dashes, I think, Kenny. I think maybe Trinaldo would be the first one. I think that'd be competitive.
You got him.
Me and him.
I think you got him.
I don't want to be the favorite. I don't want to be the favorite. Like, I'd be favorite against Olenek or Modafferi, right? Give me Trinaldo.
Sure.
Kenny, what do you have for us on the co-main event before I get fired, please?
Oh, gosh. My knee hurts just thinking about 40-yard dashes. Listen, I'm with BP. I'm a Randy Brown fan as well. I think his length in particular is going to be a problem because he knows how to jab, because he knows how to use his long-range weapons now. And, you know, just seeing his composure in his last few fights, he's on a 3-fight win streak now. Trinaldo is tough, always going to move forward. He's on a little win streak as well, but I think so, right? You know, Trinaldo, he's got big-time power. He can definitely knock out anybody in that division. But I think Randy is fighting him at the right time. And I actually like the fact that Randy is gaining a lot of experience against these kind of mid-tier guys, because I think when Randy does finally get those top 15, top 10 guys, I think he's going to be that much more prepared. So this is a guy I think can really make a run and can be a contender. Give me Brown.
All right, that brings us to the strawweight main event. Kenny will lead us off here. Mackenzie Dern, minus 210. Yan Xiaonan, plus 180. Dern has won 5 of her last 6. Now, that does include a split decision win over Tisha Torres, UFC 273. A very close fight. I kind of thought Tisha won. She was beaten in her only UFC main event prior by Marina Rodriguez. This will be the first UFC main event for Yan Xiaonan, who had won 13 in a row before this current 2-fight skid against Carla Esparza, the champ, and the aforementioned Marina Rodriguez. Ken Flo, Mackenzie Dern, minus 210 here this weekend. Who do you like?
You know, I think that Mackenzie is so dangerous. Again, I keep making these comparisons, but just like that, you know, person who has one punch knockout power, she's so dangerous with her submissions that she can take you out super quick. I would like to see her almost drop guard against someone like Yan Xiaonan. I think that at times she spends a lot of energy trying to take her opponents down. And against Yan Xiaonan, she's got that, you know, Sanda background that allows her to hit some nice takedowns and keep the fight on the feet when she needs to. McKenzie is still a developing striker. She has made large improvements in that realm. But I think Jan has really impressed me, and I'm a huge McKenzie Dern fan. The fact that, you know, she's coming from that jiu-jitsu background, multiple time world champion, ADCC champion, no-gi world champion, gi world champion. And I think she's just a real sweet kid. And I love how tough she is as well. If she gets by someone like Yan Xiaonan, I think she's going to be fighting for the belt soon. I think that's going to show a huge improvement in her overall mixed martial arts game, which she's been doing. But I haven't seen the jump like I want to just yet. And I think the fact that Yan Xiaonan has shown excellent striking, excellent takedowns and defense, I think this might be a tougher matchup for McKenzie than it is expected. I've been pretty lame throughout this main event, just continuing to pick all the favorites, but I'm actually going to take the underdog here.
Ooh,
in Yan.
Okay.
All right, Bri.
Yeah,
the foundation has been laid. What do you got?
Listen, this is a great main event. Women's 115 is fucking stacked. And everyone knows how I feel about Mackenzie Dern. She's my little sweetheart that I never met. She's adorable. She's a beautiful, beautiful young lady. And she's an incredibly talented fighter and tough. You know, she walks forward. She doesn't know how to take a step back. She's moving forward. Striking's come a long way. I've stated numerous times that if her wrestling really was on point, she'd be a beast. Because as Kenny can attest, her jiu-jitsu is head and shoulders above everyone else. Either off her back or on top, she's lightning. Jan is action-packed. I mean, this girl's never been in a boring fight. Marina Hadiga's fight was incredible. Carla Esparza's fight, though, you know, she dropped it a little bit. I mean, that's a champion right there, but that's the only grappler she's fought. I know Claudia Gale is a grappler, but she kind of struck towards the end of her career, or at least her UFC run. Carla's the only one that really persisted takedown, and when she got taken down, I hate to cap off one fight, she took her down and finished her on the ground. And I think if McKenzie can get this to the ground, I love it. I don't love the number on McKenzie Dern as a favorite at -210.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wish it was cheaper, but I'll pay that. Not a parlay piece for me. This is going to be a straight wager. I'm picking McKenzie Dern, and I'll sprinkle on her by sub as well, because I would love maybe a fourth round, you know, really, you know, great fight, and she catches something or whatever. And I agree. If McKenzie Dern gets past Jan, I think she could contest for the title for sure.
All right, if you want more from BP, at Brian Petrie MMA, that was kind of cool to see on social media, wearing that proud UPS Brown, taking somebody down and just letting them know.
Letting them know. It's a guy I work with. He's like 44. He said he wrestled in high school, state champion, whatever. Not a UFC fan. Gets his UFC picks from me. And it seems like whenever he gets picks from me, they lose. So he gives me shit. Like, do you even know what you're talking about? And I'm like, dude, you're telling me like, hey, I want to put $100 down and I want to win $100. Like, that's not the easiest thing to do. So anyway, we're busting balls. We had a light day at work and whatever. And I we're on that little table. I pick him up. I put him down like a little baby and I made him my little bitch. I mean, that's what happened. He's also
1-0.
He's also 6'1". He doesn't believe how tall I am. So I have another picture where he's on his tippy toes and I dwarf him and he still doesn't believe it. But John, I have a real quick question for you.
Yes.
We're doing the 40 yard dash, right? We're talking about it. I mean, you and Buff, who we got? Who's taking you and Buff?
Buff can't run because of his ACL. So Buff and I go on a lot of walks together. Okay. So in a high intensity interval training workout over 60 minutes, I think Buff would outlast me. But in a 40 yard dash, I would smoke it, probably going backwards, you know?
Gotcha.
All right, Brian Petrie, great stuff today. We will talk to you in the not too distant future, perhaps without your hair.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. Maybe. Man. All right, I'll see you, boys. Thanks.
All right, there he is, Brian Petrie, with us for the main event challenge. So, you know, oftentimes people say, "Oh, what do you want for Christmas?" or "What do you want from Hanukkah?" You know, so I see all this wonderful artwork. I don't really have an office, right? I mean, it looks like Ken Flo has this amazing fucking office, gym in his house. Anyway, my office here is in my bedroom, right? And I have some artwork. I have this amazing Nate Diaz print behind me, right? But as the president of Team Florian, how do I not have a framed? I don't even need it autographed, right? How do I not have a framed photo? I'm being serious now. How do I not have? And I don't want you to buy this for me. I'm going to get this on my own, you know? But how do I not have a framed photo of you with Joe Lozon mounted in Broomfield, Colorado, you know? Blood splurging everywhere. How do I not have that in my office? Like some sort of ode to to, you know, my favorite fighter.
We're going to make that happen. We're going to make that happen.
We're going to make that 100%. Happen, but I don't buy it. We're
Cody, we'll talk happen. Offline. Yeah.
All right. Thank you all for indulging us today. Oh, Cody, we got the. We got
yeah, I'm here. Well, I came on to say I'm pretty sure that that's on your ceiling, right?
Right over right over the bed. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yep, yep, yep. It is, actually. Oh, there it is. Yeah. All right. The Marrow Seconds to close out the show. What do you got for us?
Yeah, so a couple quick notes off the top, if I can fucking talk. Ronnie Aya versus Cody Garbrandt's off. Ronnie Aya had a neck injury, which does happen in jiu-jitsu. Cannonier versus Strickland back for December 17th, so that one got rebooked. Eddie Alvarez, now a free agent after being dropped by one championship. Well, mutually parting ways with one championship, so either you guys might be calling an Eddie Alvarez fight, maybe in the near future. Tom Hardy recently competed in the Ultimate Martial Arts Championships tournament in Milton Keynes and won the 41 and up division at 82.3 kilos. Yeah. His third tournament win in as many months.
My fellow blue belt. Just kidding. I'm not a blue belt. He's a blue belt, though.
We got to get him on the show, Cody. Can we make we that do. Happen?
Well, and also, so I was looking it up. John, did you know that you're not IMBD credited in Warrior? Like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, you better believe that.
Well, no, actually,
not. It's not on his IMDb.
Oh, no, it's not.
Jonathan Matthew no. Anik. Actually, I was credited as Jonathan Anik in that.
Damn.
But you know, bastards. I got bigger problems.
You know why
than
he
that.
Got the gig? Because of MMA Live. Boom.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, that's our show. Yep.
Of course, they actually wanted Kenny. They got the wrong guy. It was like that episode of Entourage when the wrong guy shows up.
Well, they wanted both of us. Thanks, Cody. But no, Ken Flo was prioritizing
training
his training as usual. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, just fight for world titles.
Of course. Yeah. Movies.
So also Daniel Rodriguez, Cody and I were talking about stepping up on short notice to face Neil Magny October 15th. D-Rod. Quick turn for D-Rod. And by the way, if you follow Daniel Rodriguez on Instagram, let me just put it to you this way. If you have any affinity for cannabis in your life, you may want to go follow D-Rod because I can assure you he's higher than whatever people think I'm on right now.
Well, he's like the
smoking five joints at one time. Five joints at one time.
Damn.
He's a connoisseur. I like it.
It's like PFL owner Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah. Which, by the way, Steve Edwards commenting on D-Rod's post, like, hook a brother up. You know, and D-Rod's like, I got you. You know, looks like it's funny to go around for the king of LA, Daniel Rodriguez. Sorry, Cody, go ahead.
No. So I was just going to add in there that Muhammad Ali's grandson, Biagio Ali Walsh, signed a deal with the PFL as well. Amateur fight. How does that make you feel, Kenny? You might be announcing an Ali fight. I mean, great.
Yeah. I mean, he's got some big shoes to fill. Yeah. Big shoes to fill.
How does he feel about Ken Flo potentially calling his fight, Cody? Maybe
we'll have to call him up. We'll have to get him on after Tom Hardy.
Indifferent, probably. Yeah.
So everybody's favorite segment, Cody's covers, AKA fade, whatever pick I'm giving. I feel like I'm kind of screwing myself over this week by giving a Saturday spread pick before, you know, usually I give them on Monday. It's like a,
so international listeners, if you don't know, Cody gives a prediction on the NFL every week, and he hasn't really been hitting it out of the proverbial ballpark. He's 0-2 to begin the NFL season. We're sitting here on the eve of week three. You have to give us a selection for week three because most of the week four lines, I guess you could find them, but right. You got to give us a selection for week three, don't you?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. But I feel confident in it. I feel good. Not that I haven't the last 2 weeks.
All right.
But.
Well, let's see what you got.
So I like the Chiefs -5.5 in Indy. All right. Chiefs 5-0 in their last five road games versus someone with a losing record. Chiefs are 10-2 against the spread, actually, in their last 12 games. And the Colts, historically bad against the spread. And also, I just don't think they're a very good team. 0-4 in the last four against the spread. Last four following a 14-plus point loss. And 0-4 against the spread versus the AFC. So -5.5 Chiefs. Go take it to the window.
I like the handicap, and Cody does do his homework. There is a decent segment of our listenership, though, that fades you every week. And
as they should. Fading. I should start fading myself. That's where I need to start making my money. That's okay. I'm just going to go on an epic run.
I do have the Chiefs in a teaser, but now I won't play them because you're on that side. I love you, but I just now I can't. I mean, you're ice right now. You are ice.
Like my eyes on that note.
Cold plunge. That's going to do it for this edition. Thank you to our guests, Ray Longo and Brian Petrie. Thanks to our executive producer, Cody Merrow. And in all seriousness, Ken Flo, great to see all of the ADCC coverage and to see you be a part of a tournament that they'll be talking about for years to come. Don't forget, if you want to support the show, you can do so on social media at AnnickFlorianPod, AnnickFlorianPodcast.com for your merchandise needs. I use the promo code Longo today, actually. Yeah, Cody, I bought my wife a pair of Anakin Florian Podcast pajama pants. I used the promo code Longo. If Ray gets credit for that sale, it was the only promo code I could think of. If Ray gets credit for that sale, God fucking help. One More Sleep merch, including the city-themed Abu Dhabi limited edition shirts, are now available at millions.co. With that, oh, KennyFloridMartialArts.com as well. Don't forget, probably a good time for you jiu-jitsu players to go to KennyFlorianMartialArts.com. And we will talk to you shortly. We'll recap Mackenzie Dern and Yan Xiaonan and get you ready for another live event forthcoming. Thank you all. We'll talk to you in a week. For Ken Flo, I'm John Anik.